Welcome to Awesome Autism Tools. I'm Sheridan Ripley. I've been an energy worker and life coach for over 15 years, and this is a beautiful space for parents of children on the autism spectrum, especially non-speakers who want transformational tools, deeper connection, and gentle support. I'm so glad that you're here today. Welcome to today's episode. I am so excited to share this interview I did with Nikki. Nikki is a great mom of 7 kids, and one of her sons has autism. I've known Nikki for 20 plus years, but I've been working with Kyler since he was a little boy, and now he's 20. So I'm so excited for you to be able to hear her insights as a mom and some of our journeys together. I am so excited to welcome my dear friend Nikki on the podcast today, and I'm going to have her introduce herself and share her experience as a mom of an autistic child.
Oh, I'm so excited to be on your podcast, Sheridan. You are my favorite of favorite. I've learned so much from you. I'm finally excited. I have something to share with you. My name is Nikki Sagoon, and I have 7 children. I have twins and triplets. And the only child I carried full term was Kyler, and he is my autistic son. And I think that that's funny because all my other children, I was counseled that they would probably have cerebral palsy or these certain things wrong because they all came so early, and none of them did. But I am so grateful that I have Kyler, who has taught us and our family so much. And through your help too, Sheridan, I have learned a lot about him.
Great. Thank you. I would love to know what have been some of the most rewarding as well as challenging moments for you as a mom of Kyler.
They're all interesting journeys and how we find out that they, what's going on with them. And I do remember as a little baby, I had 5 kids that were 5 years old and down when he was born, and he cried a lot. And I always thought, we must be really annoying to him. And I used to go outside in the backyard and jump on the trampoline with him because that's where the little kids wanted to be. And what I noticed is when I would jump on the trampoline, he would stop crying. And he would just seem like he was participating in life a little bit more. And the only way I could notice that was kind of through his eyes. And come to find out when we finally had him tested, because we noticed he wasn't singing or talking the way my other children did. And at first it was, he has so many siblings. He doesn't need to have any vocal skills. And then we realized I used to babysit a 10-month-old, and she could manipulate toys and Kyler could not manipulate toys by about almost 2, I guess. So it was kind of a journey in figuring out what was going on. But the jumping on the trampoline was something that really helped us, because what I have noticed about Kyler, and he is 20 now, is that when Kyler is moving, his brain focuses and he has better conversations and he can learn better. So that was a very helpful thing to learn in the beginning, because then when he went to school, when I wanted to have a conversation with him, we tried to keep him very active in biking, hiking, jumping. He really didn't flourish in group sports because the directions were hard for him to take. But any type of movement, and still now, if I can get him moving, I see a focus and a center. So he has just been someone that has taught us so many things and been so fun in a way that you always helped me, Sheridan, is when you would do energy work with him. And I remember there was a few children I always did energy work with. And I think I learned a lot about him because when you would see Kyler, because you're a visual energy worker, you would see him in a bubble a little bit above the earth. And it really, really helped me learn about him and understand him better. It wasn't really until every time you saw him, he was in a bubble, which kind of kept him safe, and a little bit above the earth, which showed me that. And what you described to me as, he's kind of a little bit in his own world. He's safe in his own world, but he's kind of sometimes on earth and sometimes not. And this was when he was really tiny, probably 4 or 5. But still to this day, I can see it. And even when you've done work, I think you did work on him recently before he's on a service mission. and growing so much, but I think you did it right before then. And it was, his bubble was a little thinner and he was a little closer to the ground, but it really helped me understand him because he is a very happy boy. I don't know that he fully grasps everything that's going on around him, which has proven to me to be very beneficial in school and maybe some things that people said about him and maybe ways he's been treated. He's happy and protected. And it really was helpful learning that about him and seeing that part of him, that he is happy, he is protected. He's here sometimes, he's not other times. And sometimes I need to snap him into life, like literally snap him into life, like loud claps, hey, get your attention. And other times I kind of let him hang there a little bit. So that was a visual that I think about all the time and really, really helps me guide him.
Great. Thank you. I always love hearing how helpful it is for parents to have these different visuals that I'm able to see, or even messages that I'm able to relate to them from their children, and how helpful it has been over years of parenting. So thanks for sharing that.
What has surprised you the most about parenting an autistic child?
I think it's that I can't imagine what goes on in his brain. So I think with my other children, and not that anyone's necessarily normal or not normal, there's a part of me that tries to see the logic of what's going on in their brain. Why is so-and-so feeling this way? Why is he not doing good on his math test? You look at your children and you try to put yourself in their shoes and you try to figure out the motive or what's going on. The thing with Kyler is I can't go anywhere to even figure out what's going on there. And him and I have talked about it. Like I don't even know, he can't describe it. I don't even know where to go to figure out what's going on there. So there's a little bit, it makes you as a parent feel really nervous because I really have no idea. And I know I don't have any idea by certain comments, by certain things that I notice he does, by certain things, reactions to things that he has or non-reactions to things that he has. So for me, I was so grateful to have something like energy work. I was grateful to have prayer because I know that God knows his son. And I would like to think I know my son, but it's a really hard thing not being able to at all go into that son's brain and go, okay, he's probably feeling this way. That to me has been the hardest. And I feel like he's forgiving. The good thing about it is I feel like he doesn't hold those grudges that some mistakes on my other kids, probably they would hold. I don't feel like he holds on to, I could be wrong again. I'm not in there, but I don't feel like he holds on to things as deeply. It's just really hard to try to figure out. And because he seems sometimes like he doesn't have emotions, that's really hard also, because I'm sure he does, but he doesn't show them. Even feeling the spirit, I'm positive. I've seen him cry twice and known for a fact he felt the spirit, actually three times. And my husband and I talk about it all the time because he doesn't need to. He normally won't. He even knows that about himself. He doesn't feel. So when we have seen those moments of him feeling the spirit, it was a very big deal to us. When he feels sad or mad, it's actually a very big deal, because normally noticing any type of emotion is very difficult. So, and I had just recently learned he's been very hard with food and very hard with liquid. And I just always took it as he was a kid and didn't like those things. And I had just recently, here he's 20, I just recently found out that the type of food that he eats, the type of texture that he eats, the type of things that he drinks is very common to autistic kids. And I thought, oh my gosh, why didn't I know that? I should have researched better, because I never even put that together, and just found recently that there's kind of a diet that they, because of texture and because of the way they like sugars and stuff, like this is a normal thing. And it's just a lot of things that he's helped me grow and see different areas and mistakes that I'll probably know if I'll never know if I made them or not. I don't know.
Yeah. Great. How about, let's jump to the energy work. You talked about it a little bit. I don't know if you can answer these questions, because I feel like we've been doing energy work forever. So I'm just going to kind of combine these, like, what motivated you to explore energy work as support for your child and family? How did you feel during your first energy work session with me? Can you even remember when that happened?
I mean, I've been doing this with you for so long. I felt relief or saw the signs of how well it was to have you help me with Kyler. So I don't know why and how it started. I just know that I've had you do Kyler a bunch and it has been very helpful. And the image of him has been probably the most accurate image of who he is that any doctor, any school psychologist, we've been doing IEPs since he was 18 months old. There has never been an image or a thought of him that has been more accurate than him in a bubble above the earth. That is my son. And that has probably been the most accurate image I could describe of him. I know that might not sound like that breathtaking to many, but when someone gives you an image that you can say that is him, like right now he's downstairs and he's watching his little videos before he goes to work at Bishop Storehouse tonight. And he's in his own world and he's happy in his own world. And sometimes that scares me because his own world isn't very productive, but he's happy in that world. And I think that world is very safe for him. Whether or not we should push him out is something that's a difficult for a parent to decide. How hard do I push him out of that bubble? But I picture it and it really was something that has always helped me. So I don't know when it started or why. I just know that as I have been to counselor after counselor, I have been to integrative health. I'll have to tell you what that doctor said, which was kind of interesting. I have done IEPs and worked with so many different therapists. And I'm going to be honest, they were all question marks. Like all of them would say, so do you think this is helping? So do you think Kyler is... I mean, we would all sit around a table at all of his IEPs. I mean, there would probably be six or eight of us. This was every single year since he was teeny and go, so what do you think? Does he know he's doing this? Like they didn't know as much as I didn't know. It's just been a question mark. It's that, is he playing the autism more than he is autistic? Does he really understand this? Doesn't he? Everyone I ever saw, he was a question mark. And that's really hard because you're dealing with people who went to school to learn about these things. And they're looking at you going, I don't know. What do you think? And I'm like, I don't know. What do you think? So literally the most accurate description and help about Kyler was through energy work for me.
Thank you. I have this question for you. How has your self-compassion or self-care changed over the years?
Oh, wow. That's big. I think you have to slow everything down. You have to change how you look at everything. I remember, and this was again what you helped me with, getting him to school. You know, I had seven children. I had a baby younger than him, and then I had five older than him. Very busy schedules. A lot of people I dealt with who had autistic children had only one child, maybe two. That wasn't my lot in life. That's not how it worked out. I could totally see why that would be beneficial. It was funny because I was with a lot of people with autistic children, and again, it was only one or two max. And Kyler's social skills and behavioral skills are not as on the spectrum as most. And I 100% think it's because he had five older siblings only within 4 years because they were twins and triplets. And then one younger, I think they pushed him to his limits of social. So I feel like that there is a part of him that benefited very much from coming from a big family with those social skills. On the other hand, I think there's some things I miss that I do see that if I would have had one child, just him or another one, how I could have worked on different things. So I have always looked at, okay, yeah, I can see how less kids with him would have been beneficial, though socially, I feel like it was beneficial this direction. And that wasn't really the question. But one of the things was his is a little coupled with, and they usually are, it's a little bit ADHD and a little bit of OCD. Now that it's been kind of tricky to go, is that the autism? Is that OCD? Is that ADHD? What is this? Is that the processing? It's such a big, huge, vast thing, but there was no hurrying up Kyler. There was no, hey, you know, there's a fire. We had a deal, even to this day. And I tell my 13-year-old, they all know, if there's a fire, if there's ever anything, someone pick up Kyler, even though he's my tallest and biggest child, you pick him up, you throw him over his shoulder. There is not an urgency in him that even exists. So, you know, when I had little teeny kids and you helped me through this, we would tie his shoes 14 times, or he was just molasses. And just, you know, if he found a piece of lint on his pants, we could be there for 45 minutes. There was no moving until we moved past that. And I had come to you several times and been like, I am going crazy. And I loved, you know, some visuals you gave me. So he would always be late to school, which always meant his younger sibling was late to school. And it caused a lot of problems. And there was a part of me that just had to breathe through it, stop yelling at the kids, stop yelling at the rest of the kids. Like I could no longer control it. And there's a peace in going, I can't control, when I'd go into the office, I can't control that my son had, there is no urgency here. There is no concept of time. Even to this day at 20, there is not a concept of time. The airplane is taking off, Kyler, we need to go. There's maybe a teeny bit better, but really, it's really rough. It's what we work on with our mission. I pay him $10 to get to an assignment on time. $10 if he can get there within 15 minutes. And let me just say, we only hit it once a week. So this is not, we're really working on this. But you had helped me by saying, when you finally drop him off at school, I want you to put your arm up and picture yourself grabbing a balloon and holding on to it and then giving yourself that, I deserve a balloon. I did this. And I did that. I remember, oh, he was tiny. I still, to this day, when we get somewhere on time, I put my little hand up and I picture myself grabbing that balloon like, okay. And this has been a lot of years. And if someone would have told me that long ago that I would still be grabbing balloons.
I want to interject here. I didn't want to interrupt Nikki while she was talking, but this is why it's so important to me that I work with not just the child, but also the mom or the dad, because it is so important to take care of yourself and celebrate yourself and congratulate yourself when you do something hard. And I love sending Nikki balloon emojis when she shares with me that she did a challenging thing for one of her children or even for herself. So definitely, as a mom or a dad or a family member, learn to congratulate yourself when you do something hard. It's important to take care of yourself and encourage yourself as well.
So I think that slowing down, taking care of yourself, of what something should look like, what it needs to look like, all that has to go off the table. I think there's a compassion for me. There's a compassion in people who see him. And I think one of the hardest things about autistic children is, for the most part, they look really normal. And when I say normal, I don't mean that rude. I mean, people sometimes I feel like are a little more mean to them because maybe they're a little more just odd or awkward. And so I used to see compassion to people who maybe had some other difficulty. But to Kyler, I felt like there was just kind of rudeness and why is this kid weird or why is he slow? And that was really difficult. Or they just didn't see him at all. He wouldn't talk. He wouldn't try to participate. And so even leaders in church, school teachers, since he wasn't a behavior problem, they just ignored. I even had a group of friends that we all have kids the same age. And I feel like I don't even know that they know my son is that age. Like, I just feel like he was very not seen at all, just, which I guess is better than being overseen, but he wasn't seen. Very few people saw him. So when I would have a parent or a person or a child at school see him, that was amazing to me. So I think the empathy on my side was, I look for those people who are not seen. I look for adults who aren't seen. I look for children who aren't seen, because I know of the pain of just someone not even knowing. I mean, I just would feel like people sometimes didn't even know that I had a child. Like, they wouldn't ask about him because there was really nothing ever exciting really going on in his life. He wasn't going to the dance. He wasn't getting an A. There was nothing. So I just, no one asked about him. He just was very unseen.
I want to add here that as Nikki was talking and sharing this, I just was crying because I felt that. And I feel that from a lot of my clients, that they don't feel seen or heard. And I know how important it is to feel seen and heard. And this is something that I actually energetically tell my clients every time I work on them. You are seen. You are heard. You are loved. You are known, because that is so important. And that is something that you as a parent can say to your child, I see you, I hear you, I know you, I love you. And even though Nikki explained she maybe doesn't understand what's going on in Kyler's mind all the time, she still does know him and she loves him and sees him. And so we as parents or as loved ones can certainly express that. And what a great reminder for us to encourage ourselves to reach out to others who are not seen, which Nikki's going to talk about next. And what a blessing it is when our children can be that for somebody else, when they can see other children. And I love to know that my son Bryson loves Kyler and he sees him. And I think Nikki knows that. And I think it was hard when we moved away because she felt like Bryson was one of the only ones that saw him. And when we moved, Bryson took the opportunity to be a peer tutor and do unified sports, I think because he had that friendship with Kyler and was able to know that it's special and he enjoys, my son Bryson enjoys being with kids on the spectrum, with kids who are different because he had that opportunity to be Kyler's friend. So I think siblings, like Jane's interview back on episode 8, she talks about the blessings she had of being a sibling of Jay and how that helped her so much. So let's remember that, as Nikki's going to share in a minute, how being a sibling to Kyler helped her kids and then they can help others. So anyway, I wanted to add that in, but couldn't do it during the interview.
So as a parent, that kind of changes you in how you look at other people and have empathy for others. I loved how my daughters were really good, quiet girls, and they were always put by the active, kind of jumpy or loud boys. And I remember thinking that maybe that wasn't fair. And what was so interesting to me is then I realized that my son was that. He would get up and sharpen his pencil 15 times. He would make weird noises with his mouth and stuff. You know, he was a quiet boy, but awkward. And for like 2-3 years in a row, he was always put by the same girl. And I loved that girl. And I would go up to her because I knew she was like my daughters. My daughters were put by the swirly boys or the boys who didn't know how to keep their mouth shut or the weird boys or whatever boy you want to call it, because they were kind of the girl that was going to kind of keep them quiet or keep them. And it showed me I had a great love for those people who would support him, the children who would be the ones that sat next to him, as I would love telling my daughters and my kids now, you get to sit by someone who might just need a little more love for you. So I feel like that as a parent and as a person, it changes absolutely everything. I think it can't but change everything. But I think every child changes that in a person anyway. But there were definitely so many things that changed. But giving myself an out, giving myself a balloon, giving myself a, you know what? My kid is getting, we got so many letters for my little one because he was late all the time. He just mentioned it actually the other day. I've never been on school on time because of Kyler. You're absolutely right. And I had to tell the office, you know what? He'll probably never get here on time. That's our family. That's our life. So just letting certain things go. So it's just one of those ways that you learn to adjust and grow.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. What is an awesome tool that you would like to suggest for parents who have kids on the autism spectrum?
I loved the energy work. I would love to say all the doctors and all the resources, but I haven't had great experiences. So I would say God. I would say being led to certain people. We've had some good PT, stuff like that, but I really struggled. I did a private school. I did a charter school. I did a public school. I struggled with all the support. I felt like all the support was, I feel like just a question mark. I don't know if any of it helped. I would probably say now, but now my son is older. I wish I would have had podcasts. I think I would have learned a lot more than I didn't get a lot from doctors. Like I said, doctors, therapists, he did go to a neurologist. We were on ADHD medication. He didn't like that because the interesting thing about that is it made him think and he would get depressed when he thought. So even to this day, I think he likes to be in the clouds a little bit. And I think he'll be the first to admit it because that's why he didn't like being on the medication is he would be like, I think things when I'm on it. And I'm like, oh, I see. I get that. I would say energy work, podcasts, talking to people, praying that you will be led to things. I did some neurofeedback on him. I probably would have done that a little bit more if it was closer. I saw a little bit more communication. I did have early intervention, and that was really good too. I feel like the early intervention, I got all those things when he was like 2, 3, and 4, and 5, very helpful. After that, when we got into school years, like kindergarten on, I found nothing helpful at all. And I searched and searched. So, but the early intervention definitely helped him with catching up a little bit to verbal and catching him up a little bit to occupational therapy and physical therapy. Like those helped tremendously. And the state paid for that. And that was wonderful. But since then, no, I mean, those were, you know, energy work, God, podcasts, that's word of mouth, talking to people. That's kind of all I've ever found successful. This is going to be lifelong. And I've noticed on his mission is the biggest growth he's had. I mean, he's driving, he's being responsible. He's a fun, kind boy. I think forever I'll have to tell him to brush his teeth. I think he'll eat sugar and soda. There's things I really worry about that I think it's forever, but the progress is amazing. But he's a great kid. And he's been a huge blessing. And one last thing before I had him, I got a blessing from a bishop in our church. And I had, like I said, five little kids. And so this pregnancy was an accident. And I was worried my husband was going to freak out. And he gave me a blessing. And in the blessing, he said, this child will be the child that brings your family together forever. Something along the lines of, this child will be your greatest blessing. And, you know, I would say he is for sure. But I just distinctly remember being like, how is this child? I already have five teeny ones. Like, how is this child going to make such a difference? But just the way that we've all learned and maneuvered and seen who he is. And the thing that's great about him is he just says things to people that are not politically correct. And he has no boundaries in language and he has no boundaries in what he'll say. And so sometimes it's frightening. But I think the thing that is cool is even though he doesn't feel the spirit when we talk about God, he would just be like, well, of course. And when he believes something, he believes it. It's like a very different brain. His brain doesn't get muddled up with what the world tells our brains. His siblings, some of them deal with a lot of anxiety and depression, and he'll literally laugh out loud, which is rude, but he doesn't understand that. He'll be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he has anxiety. I don't have any anxiety and depression. I have a perfect brain. And we all just sit there and smile and go, yes, you do, Kyler. You have the most perfect brain. And he believes it. He always tells us he's great at sports and he has the best brain because he doesn't have any anxiety and depression. What is there to be upset or worried about? Kyler's brain, it doesn't get warped by the world. He's living in the world, but it's like you said, there is a little protective bubble, a little bit above the world that kind of keeps him out of it in some way that is kind of beautiful. It worries me at times, but it's kind of beautiful. Really quick to tell you about the integrative health doctor. So I went to him because I felt like did all of it, you know, did the gut, did everything. So he took all the tests. He did the blood, the back of the hair, all of this. And I was like really hopeful that he would have something amazing to say, some help for my son. So we sit down with all the test results and I'm hoping he'll say, you know, he needs, I don't know, gluten-free or whatever. I was just looking for something to help him. And the thing that sticks with me with what he said, and I can't remember all of the details, but what he stuck with me is I was like, I want my son to be able to learn better. I want him to be able to communicate. Like he's not doing well. And he was like, what's not doing well about him? And I'm like, well, he doesn't think the way we do, like something needs to change. And he said, you know, I've seen these children in two different ways. He goes, the ones that know exactly, and I don't know if he was right or wrong, but it kind of made me think about it. He goes, the ones that know exactly what's going on usually have some depression because they really can see what's going on. Kind of like they can see their limitations. They can see that maybe things aren't going to go for them the way they go for other people. And it's very hard for them. He goes, your son is happy. You're telling me he's happy. He's balanced. He is enjoying his life. He's like, what is it? What is your goal here? What's your goal? Do you want him to see that he has, I wouldn't call them disabilities, but maybe limitations? Do you want him to see exactly what's going on here? Or is he okay living here? And I remember I felt like that was kind of a rude way to say it to me. And I really had to think about myself and go, what is my goal? I do have a happy boy. There are some things that are going to be limiting. Is he going to get married? Will he be able to hold down a job? Will he be able to, what are his limitations exactly? And I wanted him to be quote unquote a little more normal so that we could see that. And his point was, you have a healthy, happy boy whose brain thinks a certain way. And what is it you're trying to accomplish? Because maybe if he exactly saw the situation the way you want him to, he wouldn't feel as good. And so I just thought that was interesting. And I think of it a lot. And I think that's why Kyler did not enjoy his ADHD medication or enjoy use it, is because it kind of slowed him down. It kind of brought him down to earth a little bit. It made his thoughts a little more crystal clear and he would get a little sad. So I just think that's an interesting question. And I don't know what the right and wrong answer is. I just thought he posed an interesting question to me when he said, what's your goal? I thought, I want my son to be able to function a little bit better. And the way that he presented it to me was like, well, he's happy and he's healthy and he's good in his life. And in my head, I'm like, well, this is not a normal anyway. So it was just an interesting question that I think of a lot, and I think of what is my goal. And he thinks he's the most mentally healthy person in our whole entire family, and that he's the happy, great one. And why would some of us have depression and anxiety? That's ridiculous. And I think that's an amazing gift. What an amazing gift that the world has not brought him down. So anyway, I wanted to share that.
Thank you. I love that. And Kyler is awesome. I love Kyler.
He is awesome.
He's great.
He is.
Well, thank you so much. It was wonderful to hear your suggestions, your thoughts, your insights.
Thanks for listening today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast so you can continue to learn all of the tools I love to share. If someone you care about came to mind while you were listening, please share this episode with them. Sometimes one small share can make a big difference. And don't forget to sign up for the newsletter for extra support, resources, and updates. You'll find everything linked in the show notes.